Once again, I have the benefit and the privilege of coming this evening to bring the Word of God to you. And I have that disclaimer that I've used in the past where last minute notice, so I don't have to be totally prepared and feel like I have to bring the house down and anything like that, even though it hasn't happened yet. But this evening, I just bring a few things that I've thought about this week. Like I said, I spoke at Harmony and then the nursing home this evening and this morning. And just some words of meditation for this evening for us. So just going back for context, if you turn with me to Revelations chapter 4. Now, the good thing, once again, for you guys is I have a lot of these verses that I wanted to jump to written down already. So I think I'm just going to have you just plant yourself in chapter 4 of Revelations, and maybe I'll bounce a couple of verses that I have written down, which actually is a number of verses, and I'll just read them to you. But the good thing, once again, of just coming this evening to bring the Word of God is this is my church family. These are the people that is the body of Christ and people that I call my friends, my loved ones. And I know that I've witnessed in my own heart and seen with my eyes the testimony that many of you have. So I can, with great assurance, that I'm coming to bring encouragement to you guys this evening. Bringing words of encouragement and not of pleading for your souls. But yet, nevertheless, there is still that need that if I don't know the hearts and I don't know the mind, and God does. So even at this point in your life, and wouldn't even know, couldn't tell you, and it wouldn't be it'd be a great blessing to God, but just to bring these words of encouragement. And if God has moved your heart in a way that is different from what everybody else assumes, well, that's great, because God is calling you. So just reading in Revelation chapter 4, I'm not going to read that whole chapter again. But I wanted to pick up in verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they did not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Let's bow with prayer. Gracious Lord, pray for this evening, Lord God, that you would, Lord, give us words from your scripture, Lord, that would strengthen us, Father, Lord, that would convict the hearts that need to be convicted in repentance. Father, Lord, that you would strengthen the hearts that are weary. Father, even during the course of this day, Father, Lord, we pray that your presence, Lord, would be with us, Father. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, just to give words for myself, Lord, just to speak, Lord, of your great truths, Father. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we think of God, when we think of what God has done, we should be amazed. Psalm 147 and verse 6 says, "He counts all the stars. He counts all the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name." Now, my mother will, in 63 years old, she can't get any one of her kids' names right. She always calls us 9 million. She calls my brother, she calls me, my sister. Sometimes I get called my sister's name, and these are just terrible things. But we think of our own selves, and we say how much we forget of names, and we can't remember. But our God in heaven calls all the stars. He calls them all by name. He calls them all out. And when we see in the National Geographic, or we see how they discovered a new star, and, you know, poor Pluto is now a dwarf star, and they think they're so great in their wisdom, and they take a galaxy and they expand and they say, there's billions and billions of stars, but our Lord God called them all by name. That should just stagger us. That is just simply amazing that every single one of them are in their place and He has put them there. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and measured the heaven with the span of His hand and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance? So we now look at a God who created the stars, and we look at a God that has measured the waters with the palm of His hand. We look at like a Mets baseball player, maybe Jose Castillo, who can't even catch a ball and drops it last year. I'm still trying to get over that. But here's God who measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. He calculated the dust in the earth. So we see something like in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah speaks of it in chapter 32 and verse 17. When he goes to prayer, he says, O Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for You. So how is it that we so often, you know, we hear, tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of what God has done. And we lose sight of that God created the heavens and the earth. It grows dull to our ears. How often do we forget that He calculated the sand and measured the heaven with the span of His hand? Is anything too hard for God? Do we forget that God has intimately concerned with us? Do we forget that God is in control of all things? Jeremiah, and later in that chapter, chapter 32 and verse 27, this is God speaking, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? So our minds so often go to, well, I have difficulty. I have problems at my job, and I have this problem with this one person that I'm working with. Or my spouse is just too hard-hearted. Or I have this pain of loss. I have this anger towards someone at my towards somebody in a relationship, whether it be job, work, personal. Do we bring these things before God? Do we say, God, can You rectify these relationships? Can You heal these relationships? So my question to you, is anything too hard for God? We look at this time of year and I'm amazed. I tell my wife, you know, I love this time of year. We see how God's hand is upon the sky and we see the leaves changing. We drive past it. We not even think of what God has done. How He made this world for us to dwell in. We need to give glory to God. We need to know that all things are in His hands and nothing is too hard for God. But God is intimately concerned for us. I use these verses at the nursing home, and I've used these verses before. These are nothing new, but these are encouraging verses. In Jeremiah chapter 1, when he's speaking to Jeremiah, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. we think as being as saved individuals, we should all know that truth, that before the foundation of the world, that's something that should be quite encouraging when we have those difficulties come in our lives. That before we could even think about being scared, God had us. And He's brought us to this point. He's going to continue to bring us. That's why, you know, without getting sidetracked, I think about before the foundation of the world, before it was formed, and we hear all, and Pastor had touched upon this a couple of weeks ago, about end times and all sorts of difficulties and all things that are coming into play that people all cry out and say, oh, this is signs of the end times. You know, but like Pastor had said, and you know, just to what I was thinking is, you mean God's not going to be sovereign in all these matters? You think God is not going to be in control if there is an end times and there's a great tribulation? Who cares? God has brought us thus far, and before we could even be concerned, He has called us. He's going to encourage us. We should be thankful. In Isaiah chapter 41, who has performed and done it, calling a generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. So even before we were sitting in the pews here in Pine Bush, before we had our houses, before we were born, there were generations past. And there were people crying out to God in circumstances, in difficulties, and in triumphs, and many champions for the Word of God. He called the generations, but He is the first and the last. We aren't. The world didn't exist until you showed up. Sometimes I like to think I'm the center of the universe, and I'm told by my wife I'm not. I'm learning. Thank goodness I just got married, so I have years to learn that I'm not the center of the universe. But God has created all things. He is the first and the last. He knows the numbers, He knows the very number of our hair. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. And that should once again stagger us, that how intimately He knows us. He knows the very count of the hairs on our head, some more than others, but nevertheless, still, to whatever power, billionth power we would call it, God knows every hair on our head. That just means that He intimately is concerned for His children. He knows our hearts. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind. He knows our hearts. He knows who we are. He's intimately concerned with His people. So my question to you is anything too hard for God? We're reminded this morning with Pastor when he preached. This evening, all flesh is like grass. We will all pass away. There is nothing that is going to secure us everlasting life in this world. This life will come to an end. Some of us will be quicker than others. We think about it this evening. And we say, wow, that's kind of a downer. And like Pastor had said this morning, well, it should be encouraging that, you know what, we'll just be ushered into glory that much quicker. But nothing is guaranteed. Some of us will pass away tragically. Some of us will painfully pass away. Some of us will live to an old age, die quietly. Some of us, who knows how we might pass away. But nevertheless, we will, unless Jesus Christ comes to call His people, we will pass away. Our mark and our stamp is going to be gone. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word by no means will pass away. God has secured us. Christ has secured us in heaven through His blood. That's that old story again. Christ has secured us. Not me. Not you. Christ. He's paid for our sins, past, present, and future. You know, when you think about that, that is also something that should drop us to our knees. Past, present, and future. We could say, well, I was a horrible sinner, but God called me out. I was addicted to drugs, alcohol, abusive. God called me out. All those sins were paid for. But the sins now. What about the sins to come? We look at some of our sins that we do in light of what the knowledge we have that Christ has given us and has opened our minds, and we say, I can't believe I'm doing these things. I can't believe I'm sinning like I'm sinning. Christ paid for it, past, present, and future. And if there was no one else in this world, Christ, and you were the only one, Christ would come and Christ would have come and died for you. Romans 9, verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will a thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? So often that's what we see. The people professing God. Why did God form me this way? I this is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be. We say, well, God's called us out of sin, but yet He's made me to have anger. And He's made these relationships crumble before me. And He made me to demonstrate my anger, because that's He knows that I need to respond. So in one respect, we are responding to God as, why you made me this way? But God has created us to glorify Him. God has made us to demonstrate love towards one another. To show one another in our relationships, in our marriages, as parents, as children. We are to demonstrate God's love, Christ's love for us, because He died on the cross. Like I said before, these are nothing. This is nothing new, but encouraging things. Just simple truths. So we know that Christ has died. And as I put to the people in the nursing home this week, and you accept. How many people accept God? Well, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all things, but they don't accept His Son. How many people accept that, yeah, there was a guy who died, and he paid the price, but I don't know what fact that has to do to bringing me in relationship with God. It's by my works, it's by what I do. Well, we know that's not the case either. We have to accept all of God and His glory. All of His God and His glory is Him die for us. Once again, I'm sure you hear this evening saying, I know that. But it's good to hear it again. John chapter 20, verse 17. I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. He paved the way. That bridge that wasn't there was made when Christ died. And we think of a God who formed the heavens and the earth. And we think of all the past prophets that have prayed. And we read of prayers and all things in Scripture. This is the same God we pray to every day. Before the foundation of the world, the beginning and the end, Alpha, the Omega. This is the same God that we pray to every day. So my question to you is, anything too hard for God? So I don't know what your difficulties are this evening. I might be aware of some of them. We, as a church family, we have an opportunity to convey difficulties and trials that are coming into our lives, but God is intimately knows all of our concerns. So whatever difficulties there are and sins that are haven't been confessed and roadblocks that have prevented us from encouraging one another. Relationships that are torn apart, marriage relationships, sibling relationships, parent to their child relationships, any kind of relationships. But not only that, but maybe financial difficulties. Wondering when those bills are going to be paid, what my future holds, not knowing what decisions I need to make, work decisions, wanting wisdom in these things. Well, the God that created the heavens and the earth, that formed the sky with the span of his hand, and knows the hair on your head and how many there are, he's going to be concerned, and he's going to reveal to you his will. So, before I close, I just wanted to read the next chapter of chapter 5 of Revelations. Just a small portion. This is just that truth about Jesus Christ. When we read God and we see what God and the glory that is given to God, we also need to know and give the glory to Jesus Christ. Then I looked and I heard, this is in verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The living creatures, the elders, and a number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them," I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus paid it all. And we should be very thankful that that price was paid at Calvary for us. That we shouldn't lose sight of the old story of Jesus Christ's love. That we should remember it when we think of our intimate relationship with God. That God who created all living things and created us, nothing is too hard for him. That God would give us the grace to endure difficult trials and pains. That we'd be able to mend relationships that might be severed and demonstrate love when love is not being given to us. Because everything was paid at Calvary. Our ending in life and I often think of our chief existence. It says in the hymn and one of the catechisms, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We're here to glorify God. But we're not just there. To enjoy him. Forever. That should bring us to our knees and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for you created all things." Let's bow for prayer. Gracious Lord, you've given us so much. Lord, we are do not deserve the least of your mercies, Lord, the least of your tender mercies, Father, but you've given us an abundance. Father, I pray for those that are having difficulty at this time, Lord. I pray for those that your hand is upon particularly, Lord. Father, Lord, we praise you, Lord God, that all things are under your control, Father. Nothing is too hard for you. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would strengthen us for the remainder of this week. Lord, this week to come. Whatever difficulties come our way, Lord, whatever trials, Lord, you see pleased to put in our path, pray that we would take it, Lord, knowing that this is from you, Lord, to sanctify us, to grow us. Praise you for these things, Lord, and all these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.